Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, June the 7th. What day is this? 17th?
What it said on my clock this
morning. That's right, 17th, 2011. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and thank you for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and the Voice Network, and our simulcast partners in Douglas and Globe. And of course, we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, where all of our shows are archived for 24/7 listening. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we begin with the Friday Focus featuring a newsmaker interview. Then at the bottom of the hour, it's the Friday Roundtable. Then we close out the show with our Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Today's Friday Focus is with Chuck Huckleberry, administrator for Pima County. Joining me to talk with Mr. Huckleberry is Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. And we invite you to join in the conversation from wherever you are in Arizona at 790-2040. Chuck Huckleberry, thanks for being with us. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Certainly the fire situation, it seems like it gets worse by the day. Our heart goes out to all of our friends who are listening down in Cochise County and in Sierra Vista. Hopefully the firefighters will be able to get a handle on that before any more homes are destroyed. In Pima County, so far we've been fairly lucky and fortunate. No Pima County lands have been affected by fires, but we're really not even into the dry lightning season yet.
Correct, Bill. We're getting pretty close with the Horseshoe Fire down in the Aravaca area, but very little into Pima County at this point in time. Part of the proactive action of the board in basically declaring much of the forest off limits and limiting use of the Mount Lemmon Highway in Summerhaven has helped. In fact, we have sheriff's deputies enforcing that. I just read a report the other day at milepost 8. A couple of people got out of a car to take a smoke, and they both have tickets now.
Good.
So luckily, someone was there to see that happening.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We have active patrols on the Mount Lemmon Highway trying to enforce the ban.
Are you going to be declaring a fire emergency next week with the Board of Supervisors?
Yes. On Tuesday, we have a resolution before the board that declares a fire emergency that allows the board to basically prohibit the sale of these consumer fireworks. You begin to see some of these firework stands start to pop up all over town, and I think given the grave conditions we are with the fire, we need to basically be proactive and try and do as much as we can to prevent fires that could occur in this community as just like they're occurring in the communities of Sierra Vista and Southern Arizona.
Now, the law when it was passed that allowed for the sale of consumer fireworks again in the state, it gave an out to subdivisions of the state that already had a ban. For instance, you can't buy these fireworks in the city of Tucson, but you could buy them in the county. Now, is this just a temporary ban, or could you make this permanent so you can't ever buy them in the county?
Well, the way the resolution is structured, it is a ban in the unincorporated area of Pima County during the fire emergency and during the conditions we're in today, and can only be lifted once those conditions basically resolve themselves. So it's going to be quite a while until we have some good moisture that comes with the summer rains and hopefully abates the hazard.
But would the law allow for you to have a permanent ban like the city does?
We probably do not, because I think unfortunately, we're a subdivision of the state and we only have the powers that the legislature delegates to us. And if they were silly enough to delegate the power for consumer fireworks in the first place, they certainly wouldn't delegate to the county the ability to ban it. And I wish we did have that ability.
I want to talk a little bit about the Rosemont Mine situation. The Metropolitan Pima Alliance has come out, their board of directors, in favor of the Rosemont Mine project, and they're urging that the Pima County Board of Supervisors and you specifically also join them in collaborating with Rosemont Mine. Your reaction?
Well, so far there's been almost no collaboration from Rosemont. In fact, there's been just the opposite. It's been a public relations campaign by Rosemont to basically discredit legitimate concerns that the county has had regarding the Rosemont proposal. Our concerns relate to a number of factors, whether or not even the what we call non-patented mining claims are valid. That's a fundamental issue the Forest Service still has not addressed. In addition, there's just simply been no real effort whatsoever at mitigation. Rosemont claims to be this new mining company with a new approach and environmentally sensitive. Well, we haven't seen any of that yet, so we're still waiting to collaborate with them. But so far, it's not been forthcoming.
During the ill-fated special legislative session last week to extend unemployment benefits, a lot of the discussion from Republicans and their resistance to extending the benefits was that they wanted an employment bill and something to consider to improve employment, not necessarily an unemployment bill, which was great rhetoric for them. But their point's well taken, is that although the jobs employment numbers went up a little bit in Arizona, we still have a considerable number of people who are underemployed and who are unemployed. On balance, wouldn't it be better to stop resisting the mine and try to speed it up so that it could get built sooner or later?
Well, I think the problem is that how much will the mine actually benefit the region in employment? You know, they promise 500 jobs at, I think they say, $60,000 annually. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's very good. But it has to be compared to what? And with Roche, which is the Ore Valley example, that was 500 jobs at an average salary of $70,000 in a clean industry that has no environmental impact as opposed to the massive impacts of Rosemont. And so on balance, it's what type of jobs do you want and how do you covet them? In addition to that, I think the Rosemont proposal is only a 21-year mine life, so that, those jobs are only going to be around for 20 years, and then they're gone.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question for Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, he is here and he is more than willing to listen to your comment or to try to answer your question. Continuing on with Rosemont, going back, if you look at the 1872 mining law, you were not surprised, I assume, that the U.S. Forest Service has given initial very preliminary approval to move forward now with the environmental impact statements.
Yes, that's correct, because they operate under a set of rules under the Department of Agriculture, as opposed to the rules that are operated under the Department of Interior with the Bureau of Land Management, where there has been a legal opinion by their solicitor that they can deny a permit if it causes irreparable and irreplaceable harm. And in the case of the Department of Agriculture, they haven't made that determination. So they have really kind of said they don't have the ability to say no. I think a lot of people argue with that. Certainly in contemporary time, we would think that under NEPA, which is a National Environmental Policy Act, one of the fundamental tenets of NEPA, which is a law passed in 1964, does have and has as its tenet the no-action alternative. You have to compare what you're doing with doing nothing. And so I think the foundation is there, but everyone's claims the 1872 mining law obviously preempts that act with regard to the ability to say no. I think there's going to be a lot of debate about that, probably only settled in the courts.
Pima County still has to give a rule on an air quality permit. What is the timetable for that? For Rosemont,
the air quality permit, there's a very specific time period that's contained in our rules and statutes, and we'll meet that timetable. And I can't give you an exact timetable, but it's in process, and it's a very technical review. It has very little to do with policy or politics, and which is fine because, you know, our quality of air doesn't care whether it's, you know, political
Republican
or
Democrat or
policy.
Or independent,
that's,
right?
That's correct.
Okay, Mark.
Switch to the other side of the metropolitan area for a minute. The state legislature passed a law that basically says you've got to negotiate with Marana to give up your portion of the sewer system that Marana wants. But recently, the Pima Association of Governments denied Marana a permit, which I think was a water permit or an operating permit. What could you explain the effect of that ruling on PAG on where that puts us with in terms of the state law, and is all this heading for court?
Sure. The state law did more than just simply say we'd had to negotiate. Senate Bill 1171 said basically the Marana could take our facilities without adequate compensation to our ratepayers, and I think we're going to say no to that, and that part of the argument will end up in state court over the validity and constitutionality of that state law. What the Pima Association of Governments recently did, they're the Metropolitan Planning Organization as defined by the Clean Water Act. And the Clean Water Act is what actually governs whether Marana gets to enter into the wastewater business. It's called a 208 planning process. It's just a simple subsection of this federal law. And PAGA said no. And my guess is that Marana thinks that now that they have a no, they can supersede the MPO decision, which is PAG, and go straight to the state and bypass the federal law. We don't believe that's possible. We believe the federal law, obviously, and historically trumps state law. And I think if the state were to entertain the concept about overriding the local decision, that probably you'd end up in federal court.
And this is more than just about the county getting fair compensation. This is really the subtext here is growth. Because if Marana has its own sewer system, then Marana can extend its sewer pipe to however many homes it wants to, whereas if someone wants to build a Marana, they got to come to the county and say, can we have a sewer pipe? Isn't that really what's at
play
here?
Well, that's how Marana would like to play it. And the facts are is that we're a utility agency as the county. We have provided sewer service to anyone who asked for it. We have never turned down any sewer service based on a land use decision. The land use decision is the local entity's responsibility, whether it be the city of Tucson, Sahuarita, Oro Valley, or the town of Marana. Our decisions are made once the local land use decision is made. We will serve provided there's capacity, provided there's a sewer there to serve. What we won't do is put in a developer's infrastructure, either in sewer pipelines or in treatment plants. That's their responsibility.
It's 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, June the 17th. We will be back with Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, as we continue with our Friday focus. Again, if you'd like to ask Mr. Huckleberry a question, 790-2040. We will be back.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
It's 12:21 and this is the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday focus where we bring in a newsmaker. This week's newsmaker is Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. We've been talking about the Marana, the sewage treatment issue over there. We've been talking about the Rosemont Mine. We started our discussion about fireworks, and I want to go back to that briefly. Pima County, Mr. Huckleberry, does not in itself stage fireworks shows, correct?
No, we don't. But we do permit them through a process in the unincorporated area, and we historically permit fireworks at a lot of the major resorts, and we're doing that again this year. The number of fireworks permits are on Tuesday's agenda, but they're all going to be conditioned with an approval by the sheriff and the fire district in which the site is located on or before the day of the show, and so that they can make individual judgments about the susceptibility of the surrounding area to fire and the precautions that are taken.
So there could be a decision within 24 hours of the fireworks show, a go or no go.
That's correct, and that decision will be typically made jointly by the sheriff and the fire district that has jurisdiction over the particular geographic area.
I want to go back to PAG really quick and touch on something that I talked about, not necessarily dealing with Marana, but that Marana vote about that permit was a split vote, and you had a couple people abstain, including the mayor of Tucson. And back in 2006, when the RTA was passed, the Regional Transportation Authority was passed, there was a lot of optimism that we would finally be on the path of regionalism and regional governments, regional water system, regional parks, and regional road system. And I'm wondering if that's kind of falling apart now. What's your take on where we're at with the effort to have some efficiencies in the services we provide by taking out some of these duplicative efforts that from government to government?
A good point. And in the case of Marana, they've taken a real step backwards in regionalism. But I don't think everybody else has. We're actually seeing a very positive step coming forward in regionalism, where I believe the city of Tucson is agreeing to wheel the CAP allocation of the town of Oro Valley to them through their system. So that's a very positive regionalism concept. I have not given up on regionalism. Regionalism is the best way to go. It provides the lowest cost service at the most uniform kind of set of performance standards for a regional community, which we are. And so, but I think the fact that we have one community wanting to basically go their own way in wastewater is a real step backwards in regionalism, but I don't think it's a lost cause.
And related to that is the bond election that we've needed for a while, but it was not in the cards considering the economy and the sentiment of voters. But when you put out the call to the regional government, say, what do you would like to see in this bond package, it was everybody into the pool, and it was quickly got up to be like $1.5 billion, and voters weren't, or they would choke on that, and so it's been whittled down. Now it's down to about $600 million. Do you think that even that number can get through, and do you think we'll see a bond election in 2012?
I think what the problem is that you're right. It's been everybody, you know, wanting what they want, and the numbers get bigger and bigger. But our capacity to issue bonds is becoming stagnant because of the stalled tax base. And so my guess is that we will not see a bond issue in 2012. And the very earliest we'll see an authorization will be 2013, with the first bond sold in 14 or even 2015, because we don't expect to see growth in the tax base for about 3 more years. We're on the downward side of the slide for the tax base contraction, which is really kind of recorrecting itself for the overheated market we were in 2004 and 5.
To bring up another blast from the past, where does that put us with the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan? Because when that was passed, there was a lot of land that had to be purchased, and you did a first chunk in the 2004 bonds with about $170 million. You've got another $100 or $150 million worth of bonds that you've identified to buy more open space. But if you're not going to be able to buy it for a long time, where does the federal government stand in terms of that Section 10 permit?
Well, we were fortunate in the fact that we actually bought as much as we already have. We bought about 30,000 fee acres already, and we have about 120,000 of state trust lease under our control. And that puts us positively toward the mitigation bank for probably 10 to 20 years of growth. So we're kind of way ahead of the curve as far as mitigation in the Section 10 permit. We do have about another $80 to $100 million investment we should make. And the good news, if there is any good news about the current recession, is that land values have plummeted. We purchased another piece of the Sweetwater Preserve about 6 months ago at a rate of about $8,000 an acre. In the first piece of the Sonoran Preserve, we spent $17,000 an acre. So we're getting bargains.
1226 on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus. Chuck Huckleberry is here. Pima County Administrator Mark Evans is here from Tucson Citizen. And Mike is here. He's on our Buckmaster Show live line with a question for Mr. Huckleberry about fireworks. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Huckleberry, I have a question in that you said you're more than likely going to probably put a ban on selling fireworks outright, but maybe allow the major shows at the resorts to go on. And I'm a little puzzled by that, in that the fireworks that would be able to be sold would only be ground fireworks, but the fireworks that are at a show would be ones that go hundreds of feet in the air and explode. It seems kind of ironic that you would, you know, choose one and say that there's almost positive chance there's going to be a ban on it, but then the other, that you leave the window open to allow you and the fire departments to say it's okay to shoot the ones that are the most dangerous.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Yes, the ground fireworks are probably the ones that cause the most fires, because they're the sparklers, they're the things that, you know, basically ignite the low brush that then, with a little bit of wind, turns into a wildfire. And so those are the most dangerous. The aerial displays basically can be controlled by, and obviously there's professional pyrotechnic companies who do this for a living, and they have a little better idea about what they're doing and the height they're shooting at and the extinguishing factors about whether or not that ember that lands is hot or not. But I think the important point is that my assumption is that the fire districts, those who are most knowledgeable, are going to be the folks who are making the call on the commercial ventures. And if they believe there's any risk at all, I assume they will not allow them.
We've only got about 30 seconds before we say goodbye to Mr. Huckleberry, and we have not talked, we talked about bonds, but for those of us who like to budget a little money every month for our property taxes, what would you suggest would be prudent for the next 12 months for us?
Well, I think you just basically budget what you did last year, and when you get your tax bill, you should have some money left over. Because what we've done is actually, in adopting the budget, which will be Tuesday, is reduced our take of property taxes by nearly $20 million. And while I can't guarantee it across the board because we have 300,000 parcels out there, on average, people should see their tax bill from the county going down.
And that budget that's going to be adopted on Tuesday, it's pretty much the same as last year's budget?
Pretty much the same. It's about $100-some million less, and we're doing about the same as far as services.
Chuck Huckleberry, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. Friday Reporters Roundtable is next. Mark Evans sticks around, and Sarah Garrett Gasson joins us from the Arizona Daily Star. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. For the first time, the United Nations has endorsed the rights of homosexuals. Countries voting no on the resolution included Russia, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, and Pakistan. High winds and hot weather are hampering firefighters' efforts as a battle blazes burning across the Southwest, including that massive fire in Arizona. Floodwaters from the Missouri River have crept up nearly to the reactor building at a nuclear power plant near Omaha, but regulators say the plant is well protected by flood barriers. Investigators with bomb-sniffing dogs have been searching the Northern Virginia home of a man who was detained after fleeing from police near the Pentagon earlier today. Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up 45 points, the Nasdaq down 10. More details at srnnews.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining.
Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Twelve thirty-four. This is the Buckmaster Show. We had our Friday Focus with Chuck Huckleberry. Now we have our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star and Mark Evans is with us from TucsonCitizen.com on KVOI AM 1030 and the Voice Network. Every Friday we bring in our reporters sounding off on the week's top stories. And Sarah and Mark, this has been, I'm telling you, this has been quite a news week with some really big stories. And I want to begin with the editorial in the Arizona Daily Star this morning. State Superintendent John Hoopenthal has decided that TUSD's Mexican American Studies program violates state law. But to get to his flimsy conclusion, he had to ignore the clear findings of the outside auditors that he hired to investigate the program in the first place. And this disconnect helps explain his awkward dance at the press conference on Wednesday in Phoenix. And you were at that press conference, Sarah.
I was. And it was an odd situation. They made they were trying to avoid protesters being there, so they made it was press only, even though it's a public building, public issue. But he had to sign in. He had to go into this, you know, the room where they have the board set up. And in the press conference, they handed out the packets with all the information. A couple minutes later, one of the associate superintendents came in and gave a talk, prepared remarks about how TUSD's Mexican American Studies program, there were all these problems with the curriculum. There wasn't curriculum. There wasn't a proper process. There were problems with how the board hadn't properly, wrote herd over the program for the past however many years. And then Superintendent Hoopenthal made his remarks. And to no one's surprise, he said it was out of compliance, that the program was designed to promote resentment of among the kids of a specific race, that it was designed for kids of a specific ethnicity or race, and that it the only thing it didn't do was promote the overthrow of the U.S. government. But the weird thing, and the thing that everyone in the room picked up on, was he kept talking about all these curricular issues. There wasn't a process. The board had failed in its duties to do its proper oversight, which has nothing to do with the law that's commonly known as HB 2281. That law has – it says nothing about any of that. It just has these four criteria. So you would ask him a question, and many of the reporters did. Well, what does the audit say? Well, we'd – and he just goes back again and again to this whole curriculum thing. And it was this weird disconnect. He didn't want to answer the question. He looked nervous. He was trying to skirt around. He took, I don't know, maybe five questions, and then he had to go. And so I asked his press guy, who did stick around and answer some more questions. Where did he have to go? And they, I mean, it's a legitimate question, you know.
Yes. What was so important?
He had a television interview that had been previously scheduled that he had to run off to, which didn't answer the question, why did you schedule the press conference, you know, like 20 minutes before you had to be somewhere else?
Yeah.
So it was just weird, and it doesn't get to the basic fact that his finding is in direct contradiction to the audit that he wanted, that he touted, and I'm sure that he was greatly disappointed, did not live up to what he hoped it would.
So, Mark Evans, how can something like this happen? Did he – I mean, what in the world?
I mean, if you go into a process with a defined outcome, then you're going to do whatever you can to make sure that you get that outcome.
And despite what his
Huppenthal said during the campaign, he was going to put an end to this, as is Tom Horn. And he was basically painted himself into a corner. He had to come down to this ruling. And the weird part is that he went out and he hired this independent firm to try and diffuse some of that allegation that he was trying to come up with a defined result in his investigation. And then when the independent audit came back without the result that he wanted, then he had to go and craft his own result. He did no one any favors. He didn't do himself any favors. He didn't do TUSD any favors, nor the people who have genuine concerns about this program, the people who support it and the people who oppose it. He's got an audit that says they couldn't find any violations of state law. However, they didn't get the total access that they probably needed in order to make that claim. They weren't allowed to talk to the teachers. They were only in the classrooms for a little while. They didn't see all the materials. So now that's got Huppenthal claiming, but look, I've seen all the materials. I've seen more than the people that I hired to investigate this have seen, and I don't agree with them. So instead, I say that they're in violation.
So he's saying the auditors didn't get the whole picture.
Right. And I mean, and to be fair, that's true. Just like any audit doesn't get the whole picture of a long-lasting, long-running program. But also, he did send out kind of, I think, yesterday they realized, oops, and sent out at around 8 o'clock.
Oh, were those the news releases I got in my email late last night?
Right. Yes, from we really did find things, and we are not just basing our findings on some stuff on a website, because that was one of his grand pronouncements, was that because the website of the Mexican American Studies program says, you know, it's geared to Latino students, that therefore it is only for Latino students and violates the law, rather than focusing on what's in the classroom. So the Department of Education sent out around 8-something last night some citations, some excerpts from books, things like that, that they say lends credence to their findings. But it's the same sort of stuff that we've heard this whole time. I mean, some of the history of our country is uncomfortable. Some of the history of this region is uncomfortable. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with talking about those sort of issues and hashing that stuff out and looking at it from all different perspectives. But even more than that, one of the things that they cite in there is a quote, the auditors did focus groups, or I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but they did interviews with people in the program, people in the community, board members, administrators. And the one that the superintendent cites in his release last night was that it was my friend who has been a teacher told for like 30 years told me that this has always happened, and he said that, and he said this, and he said, and it's all secondhand.
Secondhand.
So if you're gonna rely on things, go to the classroom, talk to people. The audit was distressing in that the Mexican American Studies folks, the director, a lot of the people did not participate, and there's no excuse for that. The district should have made them participate.
And, you know, what does TUSD do from here? So they have a report. They've got an audit that says they're not in violation. They've got the superintendent who's taken his own investigation and said that they are. So what do? Do they resist it full force, take the 60 days and risk that money, or do they simply roll over and say, okay, well, we've got no choice here. We've got to change the program or end the program and then set the town on fire again. There's really just there's no good option here for TUSD. They're damned if they do and damned if they don't. I think their best option is to try and go in and make some changes to the program.
And then the other thing, and I asked him this during the press conference, and when I say superintendent, I'm referring to Superintendent Zubenthal, not John Pettigone, the superintendent of TUSD. I asked, what is the remedy? What do they do? You said they're out of compliance. How do they get into compliance? And he said, well, I'm not going to give them a roadmap. I'm not going to tell them what to do. This is a strong local control state. And I laughed because –
Well, what are they supposed to do? They're not going to get any guidance from him on how to get into compliance.
Right. Later, after he left, his press relations guy did say they're planned to work closely, blah, 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 so you don't get to the end of the 2 months and ta-da, what you've worked on is wrong. But just the very notion that he could stand up there and say this is a local control – strong local control state. We're going to come in out of – parachute into your district, tell you what you're doing wrong, create a state law – designed specifically for one of your programs, threaten your funding by millions of dollars, but then say, oh, we're a strong local control state, except for when we don't want to be and we want to mess with what you're doing, is just remarkable.
It defies any kind of credibility at all.
So. Let's move on a very big news week. It's not every week that the president of the University of Arizona makes a decision that he is going to be moving on. After all, there have only been 19 presidents at the U of A. There will soon be, well, soon being perhaps within the next year, a 20th president. Dr. Robert Shelton has decided. And some were surprised about this decision. We'll begin with Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. Was there surprise?
Didn't surprise me at all.
Okay, nope. And Sarah's shaking her head
no.
So yeah. Maybe there's somebody out there that was surprised, I guess. I have to say I was not surprised.
Right.
He
was given an impossible task by the Board of Regents. Yeah. He had to increase the number of enrollment. He had to improve the amount of students who were graduating, the amount of degrees that were conferred, while at the same time completely transforming the university and its mission, and eliminating programs that were a failure to thrive and the like, increase the endowments and the money that was coming in, while at the same time try to make up for the money that the state was pulling out with all the budget cuts in the past few years. And every time he'd come up with a plan and he'd have, create these tuition plans, he was putting this on the backs of students. He was making the students pay for it through tuition increases. And then he would go to the Board of Regents meetings every April for the past 3 years to have these tuition plans approved and have them, without having talked to him ahead of time, change his plan. And the Board of Regents has been critical of him from time to time. Then you got the whole mess with the UMC and the and the healthcare system and who's in charge of that and trying to get this medical school started up in Phoenix. I'm not surprised that the guy finally left. And word has been around the university for a while that he had his irons in the fires looking for possibly a job at the University of Washington that didn't pan out and the like. So for people who've been following the U of A, it's not surprising that he left. It is surprising that he went to the Fiesta Bowl, which might show the level of his desperation. So.
But I think for the Fiesta Bowl, Sarah, I think it's a really good selection because the guy brings just incredible credentials. And I think it will definitely help the Fiesta Bowl gain back this credibility.
Well, I think it can. And from Robert Shelton's point of view, he's leaving the University of Arizona, which is at a point where things are not going to get better for a very, very, very long time. And he's going to this Fiesta Bowl, which things can get better. I mean, they've gone through a very rough patch, but things can get on an upward trajectory, and I think that has to be appealing. I think what he brings to the Fiesta Bowl is the credibility of someone who's been immersed for his entire career in higher education. Most people just think of the Fiesta Bowl as something that's connected to Tostitos and tortilla chips and football. But it does have a whole charitable component to that. And it's something that I think can be a good fit. And I think, it's been a good run at the U of A. And they have their work cut out for them finding someone who's going to be charismatic and able to take on the job here.
Yes, and another big story of the week certainly was the five people seeking the mayor's job facing legal challenges. And I guess Mr. Rothschild now will not have to worry about Mr. Holm. Is that
right? Yeah, Marshall Holm, after, from what I understand, was a quite bizarre hearing yesterday at Superior Court. Dropped out of the race. And then you had a story in the Arizona Republic today that says that besides all his bizarre behavior down here running for mayor, he's been up in Phoenix trying to take over foreclosed homes through some strange point of law that he only exists in his head. And, you know, I think it's clear that Mr. Holm may not be say this as politely as I can, may not be as sane as we would like in a mayoral candidate. And it's probably good that he dropped out rather than having to get kicked out. But that leaves Democrats with no choice now. It's you know, Rothschild is going to be the nominee. Now, the question is, will Sean McCluskey survive challenges to his petitions, who's a Republican? Will Ron Darcy, who's an independent, survive challenges to his petitions? Pat Darcy.
Yeah. And there's a challenge to Darcy, too, there.
There is. And it's one of the things that I just have to comment that one of Mr. Holmes, his residency was at issue. And I have to say, just speaking as an individual, that I found some sort of cosmic zen sort of, okay, I can kind of see where this is. I reside within my own body. That was sort of groovy.
That was.
I
mean, that's.
I read Rhonda Bodfield's quote on that in the Star this morning, and I thought, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I reside in my own body.
I'm glad to be residing in the Bill Buckmaster body.
And we're glad you're there too. I mean, and I guess this means you don't want to astral project. Although I'm sure, and if you're in a council meeting that's really boring, you might want to be able to astral project.
Hey, after this week, why don't we leave it on that note? I really like that. Mark and Sarah, thank you very much. And let's talk about what's coming up on the weekend. That's with Matt Russell, excuse me, after this.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerville Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me.
Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Savino Canyon and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Fifty-five on the Buckmaster Show, and that music signals Weekend Watch. Joining us now, Matt Russell, Tucson publicist, and probably the most dedicated food enthusiast, not only around Tucson, that I have ever met. The way this guy loves food, you would think he would be weighing like about 350 pounds, but Matt Russell, somehow his metabolism, he can eat anything and he never gains a pound.
Well, you know, I think I'm tipping the scales at about 295, Bill, so I appreciate the good words. Well, here I am sitting poolside thinking about a great Father's Day. Now, just between us, don't tell any of my clients that I'm home sitting by the pool. That's just, I know that...
Hey, you're supposed to be out there working for these people, and you're at home. You've got a Mai Tai in your hand. You just took a little dip in the pool.
Just a little dip in the pool. You know, I'm getting an early start to Father's Day. Of course, this is one of my favorite... events throughout the year, and where I really get to spend some quality time with family and with friends, and you know, teach my kids a thing or two about grilling, and wishing I could spend some time with my own father, but he's on the other side of the country, so we'll just have to do something virtually. But I love Father's Day for a number of reasons, but a lot because of the food.
What's this about sushi?
International Sushi Day is tomorrow, Bill, and our friends over at Raw Sushi at La Encantada, I've got a great thing going on. International Sushi Day will entitle you to one free Tutsi Maki roll if you go to their Facebook page, Raw Sushi's Facebook page, print out a coupon sometime tomorrow between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. for that free roll, then get yourself over to La Encantada, and they will be happy to deliver you a complimentary Tutsi Maki roll, which is a beautiful roll with crab mix and shrimp and cool, crisp cucumbers, crunchy tempura bits, little eel sauce, just delicious.
You know, something about sushi and a really hot summer day that go together, because sushi just seems kind of a light food on a really hot, kind of heavy day, doesn't it?
Yeah, one of the things that I love about sushi is whatever you want it to be. I mean, you could go for something that's deep-fried and tempura, or you could do something lighter, which is what I like to do, because I'm only 295 pounds, Bill. And that's just, you know, dress it up with some nice cold cucumbers and some crisp carrots and some nice ice-cold raw fish. Just beautiful.
And we should point out that you probably have not had an alcoholic beverage before you do the Buckmaster show.
Oh, you know. No, not at all, Bill. Not at all. This is a professional environment. It's a family show.
Father's Day is coming up, as you point out, and of course it is Sunday, and it's a good day to take Dad out to dinner.
Absolutely. If you don't want to slave over the grill at home, a couple places in town are going to want to do it for you. One casual pick this weekend on Sunday, our good friends at Monkey Burger, both in the Williams Center location and also down on North 6th Avenue downtown. Half off of all their burgers for dads. If you wear something monkey, if you have a monkey hat or a monkey shirt, be sure to don it on Sunday for a great burger experience. I'm a big blue cheese guy. I love this true blue hamburger with blue cheese, caramelized onions, grilled tomatoes. There's a burger for everybody at Monkey Burger.
Ooh, that is quite a meal, isn't it?
Love it.
Yeah, we want to put, again, a plug in for if you're looking for a nice kind of formal setting, the Arizona Inn is always great on these occasions, whether it's Mother's Day or Father's Day. If you're over at the Arizona Inn, thank them for supporting the Buckmaster Show. And Vero Amore Pizza, they've got the new gastric pub location that's doing real well out at Dove Mountain.
Yeah, the Noble Hops. Everyone
Noble Hops.
Is raving about it. There's a buzz. Not only in that part of the community, but in fact all across southern Arizona. You know what, Bill? You're fortunate because your sponsors are some of the best food folks in town. I love it.
They really are, and it's always good to hear from you. And I'm going to now let you get back to working on your tan, and you're getting the grill all fired up. This is kind of a pre-Father's Day thing, so that grill is going to be nice and hot for you tonight. Thanks a lot, Matt Russell.
Happy Father's Day.
Same to you. Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by our friends at Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Mike Flowers, terrific guy. Say hello to him. Now, the Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, producer Rosemary Brandt, and our marketing director, Deborah Howard, two wonderful human beings, and they're beautiful at the same time. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a great Father's Day.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.